Welcome to Collaborating, the podcast series of the Collaborative for Business Development. In this podcast, we're going to talk about optimizing the face-to-face sales meeting. One of the most popular topics on which we train, and certainly one that we often get asked about by sales managers and firm leaders, is time or personal management for salespeople. This often is coupled with territory management and a desire to make salespeople so efficient that they make Swiss watches look like Russian bureaucracy. But what happens after the salesperson has their day, week, month planned and who they're going to call or visit and when? If there's a group of well-qualified prospects, a face-to-face sales meeting is often the result. And this is where we often see salesperson optimizing rigor fall by the wayside. All too often, the focus that goes into personal and territory management doesn't translate to planning for and optimizing results of the face-to-face prospect meeting. There are, of course, many kinds of sales meetings or presentations that one needs to master. Those that are done before large groups, such as at trade shows, one-on-one interactions, webinars, and sales presentations to a prospect, which could be from one-to-one to one-to-many buyers and influencers. This podcast focuses on the last one, sales presentation to a prospect in a formal meeting. Learning each of these keys before any meeting can help you catapult your sale forward and shorten the sales cycle. There's seven of them, so let's get started. The first key to optimize sales meetings is to know why. Why is this meeting taking place, and what is the objective for it? Why now? What do you hope to accomplish as a result of this meeting? Before you begin to plan how to present or what to say, establish why and identify your objective. Do you hope to move a prospect along in the buying cycle? Is this simply an interest development meeting? Is the purpose just to introduce your firm and illustrate how you're positioned against your competition? Next, know who your audience is. Find out as much as you can about the person or people you're presenting to. What do they know? What do they care about? What is their filter on the information you're conveying? Who are they and why are they listening to you? If you can get information in advance by phone, all the better to be able to focus on individual needs at the meeting. And of course, search their names online, especially using LinkedIn or other databases, to learn more about each player prior to going in to the face-to-face meeting. If you can't get much insight or direct contact beforehand, be sure to probe and ask questions before you start your presentation. What does each person hope to get out of the meeting? What do they know now, and what do they hope to learn? What's most important to them? We all love to have a focus on our own interests, so most people willingly answer questions about what they care about. Get the audience to open up and talk before you offer too much information. Now, when I started out in sales, and I've seen many others do this too, I thought that using complicated terminology or sophisticated industry jargon would impress a client or prospect. This might have been true some of the time, but for most people, it's a negative. It's important to keep the focus on them, know what your audience cares about, and speak to what's important to them, not what's important to you, or not to speak to impress yourself with your industry knowledge and jargon. So summarizing these first two points, that's the why and the who, here are seven quick questions you should be able to answer prior to walking in the door. First, who are we meeting with? What is each of their roles? Two, what is their current situation? What's their plan? What's their pain? Three, why would they switch from their current solution to yours? Or what has keyed their interest in your solution? Four, who are you in competition with for this business? How do you compare and contrast with those competitors? Five, what are some of the potential questions or objections and your responses? Six, what are your objectives for this meeting? Seven, who from your firm is attending and what is each of their roles in the meeting? Now, point number three then. Regardless of whether you've been able to have individual interactions prior to the meeting or not, establish an agenda and double-check with your key contact on it before the meeting. Then, at the meeting, whether it's on a PowerPoint slide or in a handout, go over it with all attending to be sure that you're tracking with everyone's needs. As you do this, go around the room looking everyone in the eye, seeking buy-in. This approach greatly reduces the chance of expectations mismatch and ups the probability that you'll keep every attendee engaged throughout the whole meeting. And another benefit, by taking this agenda-checking approach, you'll impress with your professionalism. Why? Well, many sales folks don't set and check on their agenda. Their only agenda is get to face-to-face, make the sale. And so they just blather on from meetings beginning to end. And here's an aside on PowerPoint. We've all heard about death by PowerPoint. I'm here to tell you, it's real. I've seen the bodies. Keep the number of slides to a minimum. Use flip charts and other more interactive means to engage with your audience. Take their ideas, write them on a flip chart, write them on a piece of paper, and have an interaction that stays away from the bullet by bullet, slide by slide PowerPoint approach. Fourth, be sure to create a clear flow of information so that your audience can follow along with what you are saying. This flow approach means taking all the information you want to get across and, before you deliver it, segment it. Assess everything you want to convey and how you can categorize different ideas and concepts. Do you have 3 segments of information, 5 segments? Figure out how the material and what you want to convey breaks down and let your audience know before you begin. Let's say you're demonstrating software. You say, "We've discussed our agenda, and over the next 30 minutes, I'll cover 3 important ways our software can address the issues that are facing you now. The first is this, the second is that, and the third is the other." Then you outline your information for that segment, open each segment, reminding the audience of the focus, give the supporting data or details for that segment, and then close the segment, reminding your audience of what you've just discussed. Fifth, create context for your comments and your audience. Adult learning principles tell us that adults learn best when new material is given to them in a context that they recognize and that makes sense to them. We need someone to make a connection for us and to tell us why we should care about something. So if I'm trying to sell you on an idea or concept that I want you to care about, I need to show you why you should care. I might say to my software prospect, "Jim and Frank, we've discussed that a primary goal of yours is to reduce paper-based and manual interventions in your customer service process. What I'm about to show you is an automated process that was designed as a result of exactly what you've described as your main obstacle to greater efficiency. You've now captured their attention with context by connecting your overview to their exact problem." You've probably heard the acronym WIFM, W-I-I-F-M, which stands for What's in It for Me, everyone's favorite radio station, W-I-I-F-M. When we want to communicate clearly to another person, we must keep in mind their WIFM and help them see why what we are saying should matter to their life and situation. Sixth, recognize and match behavioral and communication style. Knowing your own style and that of the key players in your audience is the foundation of more effective communication and connection. Are you a fast talker and you're presenting to a group that's very low key? Are you a slow, thoughtful, data-oriented person and speaking to decision makers who are saying or showing by their body language, "Give me the bottom line"? Watch the cues that the audience gives out and modify your style accordingly. In sales, we call this matching or mirroring. It's a subtle shift. It doesn't mean that you imitate everything the other person does, but it does mean you pay attention to their style of communicating and you endeavor to match styles more closely. As an example, sometimes salespeople will slowly plod through a PowerPoint, slide by slide, when presenting to a committee, while the attendees are clearly giving off cues that they want things to move more quickly. Or the salesperson might present information and expect an immediate response from someone who needs time to think and ponder about what's been presented. We tend to present and communicate in a style that we are most comfortable with, rather than a style that matches our audience. In training, we often get asked, "How can I adapt to the many styles that are in the meeting?" Well, that's a good question. It's not easy. But by having those upfront conversations and gaining insight as to who the power people are, you'll be guided as to the main styles to be aware of in communicating. And here's another tip. As you begin the meeting, if you're not really sure who the power people are, note where they sit at the table. Research in human behavior shows that the most powerful individuals in a group sit at the head or end of a square or rectangular table. The second most powerful sit in the middle of a table like that. Of course, making this assessment is hard if your meeting is held at a round table, but thankfully, at least from my experience, most sales meetings are not held at round tables. 7. And finally, bring closure when you get to the end of the presentation. What do you want to have happen next? What will you do? What do you want your audience to do next? Be clear about the next step. Don't assume and don't leave it to chance. It's typical to spend a lot of time preparing for a communication or presentation, but then leaving the next step left hanging. What will the follow-up be? What happens next? If you need a prospect to make a decision about something, let them know. You could say, "Now that we've reviewed this information, I need you to decide between option A and option B. Can you let me know by next Tuesday what you want to do? Shall I call you or email you to find out your decision?" Be as clear as possible as to what needs to happen next and what you're requesting. This is a good moment also to go back to your desired outcome, the why that you established at the beginning. Don't leave anything open-ended and hanging. If the objective was simply to inform the person, confirm that he or she learned what they needed to do. If it is a group, ask people to raise their hands or go around and get feedback or a commitment to the next step from each person. Always bring your audience back to where you started. You say, "We said the objective for our meeting was for you to learn the key differences between our firm and our competition. Have we accomplished that objective? What else do you need to know? What needs to happen next?" Be sure to have a clear end and a way to bring the conversation to a close with agreed-upon next steps. Optimizing and managing the face-to-face sales meeting and having a successful meeting as a result is foundational to taking the prospect quickly toward a close. Keep focused on these 7 steps for every sales meeting and watch your success take off. We welcome your feedback on this and all of our blog and podcast topics. Feel free to email me at mike@the-collaborative.com. or call us at 888-580-9473. Also, be sure to visit www.the-collaborative.com for other blogs and podcasts. We'll tackle sales topics related to this in subsequent podcasts, and of course, we welcome your ideas for other topics. Until next time, this is Mike Slemmer for The Collaborating Podcast, saying so long for now.